Bless your hearts. Thank you so much. No, I don't think so. I want Brandon to share a testimony as we get started this morning in his academic pursuits. It's that time of year.
So many of you probably don't know this, but I am currently engaged in pursuing a master's in theological studies from Regent University. And so one of the first classes I had to take, I've had the opportunity to engage in a peer group with several other men that are engaging in this process along with me. And I've had these two men in my peer group who are both licensed ministers. And in sharing in this peer group experience, what we're supposed to do is share about where the Lord's taken us, what he's doing in our lives in regards to our spiritual formation. And I was struck as I listened. Well, first I shared my testimony of where I've been and the environment that I've been raised up in here at our Father's house, in an environment of trust, in an environment where I'm encouraged in my giftings, where I'm pushed to go beyond necessarily what I get comfortable in. And then these gentlemen began sharing their stories and their testimonies. And one gentleman shared a story about the first church he went to pastor in as a youth pastor and a worship leader. And he showed up at the church, and the expectations weren't quite what he thought they were going to be, and the pastor who brought him on didn't have the same expectations, so there was a little bit of friction to begin with. And this gentleman was sitting at his home one night, and he got a text, and it was from this senior pastor. Well, the senior pastor was sending a text to somebody else, not knowing that he had sent it to this gentleman, and he was disparaging this man in the text. And he got several more texts over the course of that evening from this pastor who didn't know he was sending the text to the wrong individual. So he turned this over in his soul for a couple of months trying to figure out how to address this, how to deal with this, and the Lord encouraged him to go to the pastor and confront him with this. And when confronted with it, the pastor told him, "You must have made a mistake." And refused to apologize. And that situation still remains to this day, so it's been unresolved. And this really, really, really struck me. And the second gentleman that's in the group shared his testimony, and he was mentored by a senior member in a denomination. A guy was very high up in the denomination, was mentoring this young man and bringing him along in his walk as he pursued what the Lord laid on his heart. And he was eventually sent off to plant a church. And as he increased in responsibility, he was exposed more and more to the corruption in this man's heart and what he was doing in lying to people, stealing. And as he began to confront these issues, he was then, for lack of a better term, thrown on the altar. And he was sacrificed, and he was made to look like he was the individual who was perpetrating these wrongs. He lost his home. The entire situation was just completely unrighteous. And as I listened to these things, just this, I'll call it a righteous anger, just burned inside of me because I could not believe it. And I also felt naive. I sent Lanny a thank you letter saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for building the environment that you've built here." And to be exposed to that and see, first of all, that people don't necessarily think like we think was a challenge to me. But more than anything, it was just thank you. Thank you for allowing us to have the environment that we have here.
Amen. Thank you, son. Would you bring down two stools for me, please? A couple other things I want to present.
I saw a couple of images this morning during worship. The first one was a pair of flip-flops, and my sense from the Lord was that people are trying to figure out, well, how do I take the next step, Lord? What do you want me to do? I don't quite know. And the Lord said, just as easy as you slip one foot in a flip-flop and then the next foot in the flip-flop, that he can present and put before you, just take the next step. It's not a big, hard thing. Just slip your foot in what you see in front of you, and that you will be able to keep going. The next thing I saw was a pack of cigarettes, and on top of the pack of the cigarettes was a mini version of a paper cutter, you know, one of those tables that has the blade on the edge, and you stick the paper in and cut it. And that was sitting on top of the pack of cigarettes. And then as I watched, the cigarettes went from being cigarettes to a pack of Valentine lollipops. And so my sense is in that if someone is dealing with smoking and would like to be free of it, that there is grace for that today.
I saw an intimate table and two characters, but I didn't see the faces. I knew one was the Lord and the other was a person. And there was an empty wine glass. And as she took the wine glass to her lips, the glass filled and continued to renew itself. And it spoke to me of grace and there being unending grace for us in our identity and our walk with him. And if anybody has read Hinds Feet in High Places, it's my favorite book, the character, when she comes to the end of herself, the Lord gives her a cordial to drink, which is grace. And so his grace is sufficient for us. Amen. And his power works best in our weakness.
Good thing. Love is a great burden. It causes you to care. And part of the liability of caring is that you're faced with your own limitations of how you can serve and help. And then there is the difficulty in realizing sometimes you care more for somebody's welfare than they care for their own. In the process of loving people, it alters who you are. I've known men, and know them now, who experienced the kind of betrayal that Brandon described for you. And it's important we understand that whatever's going on in the head is going to come down. So when you have a lack of integrity or just a meanness of spirit in the senior people, the house will be filled with that spirit. And it will attract those who have that spirit. And so it's possible to go into a congregation that is built on contention. They're easy to spot because they usually have a new pastor about every 2 years. We'll be celebrating 35 years under my leadership this August. That was the newcomers who didn't have to live with me 35 years ago. But one of the things that we can say, those of us who have history in there, how many of you here have more than 25 years of history with me? Okay? Now, those of you looking around need to appreciate just the sheer endurance that this group has had. But also recognize that that same spirit that has held us together is the umbrella under which we all gather this morning. And in our stumbling forward in the Lord, we've been able to hold on to God and one another to come to a place of relative maturity, whatever that means. But we're not the youngsters that started out 35, actually it'd be 39 years ago this year, because we were part of the congregation before I became the pastor. But along the way, lots of things have to be put down in your religious thinking, because religious thinking is not necessarily reflective of Christ. It's reflective of religion. And Jesus was not a proponent of religion, but he was very much an advocate for relationships. And so there's an atmosphere of relationship. There's an inclusiveness about us because we realize everybody has value. Now, how many of you would recognize that our Father's house is not like any other place you've ever been? Okay? We believe that God is able to bring you out of your junk. All we have to do is be patient, because eventually he's going to put a headlock on you and you're going to agree with him. Now, what that means is, while you're in your season of disagreement, we have to be patient with you because God is at work. Some of you are here this morning because we didn't give up on you when you left us. And you finally came to your senses, got your behind back home where you belong. Because God will grow you up here. That's part of what happens. Casey and Rhema have a great story to tell. About finally getting themselves back where they belong. And it's a very amusing story. You should let Casey tell it to you sometime. But good things happen here. And our mindset is increasingly released to have the mind of the Lord and the passion for his kingdom, not necessarily for a local congregation. Because we're people of destiny who've been chosen by Christ to fellowship together in this place, be endowed with something that is changing us, and to take that message to the nations. Now, I said all that to say this. When you send me into a religious environment, you can anticipate there will be stress in the atmosphere. And Alexia, my faithful servant, and the weapon and statesperson of God in his hand, has been with me in these last several trips to Cuba, where we have been able to unearth dirt and bring darkness into light and to bring an alternative mindset to those who are willing to hear us. So I'd like her to come join me for our little trip report this morning. Now, you should know she has traveled with me for so long and lived with me for so long that I can now say to her, tell them the principle of, and just let her go.
In this case, pig farming.
Well, not exactly entirely. But after a difficult experience in getting there, we arrived on a Saturday, January the 16th.
Okay.
And on a Sunday morning, I preached on their homes are built differently than ours, lots of flat roofs and stuff. So we were up on the third floor in this tiny little place crowded with people. I spoke to you about the worship service last week. And that was an opportunity to really affirm the folks. I enjoyed the scenario. How many of you were not here last Sunday? All right, I'll tell you this little story just to repeat myself because it was so funny to me. The worship leader was a professional singer and musician for decades. And then he got saved. Now he's an evangelist. But you talk about a guy who can lead worship. He can lead worship. And he had them rocking out. I mean, you could hardly move. The people are sitting this close to one another, all right? And they're just getting down in the center. Had there been more room, the place would have exploded. But I thought it was so amusing that they're dancing to song, worship songs, high tempo stuff, to which you could dance, pick one, the flamingo, the rumba, cha-cha, yeah. And most of them have come out of religion, but not are entirely out. So it was fun for me to get to say to them how incongruent religion is with who they are as a people. Because one moment, they're ready to dance those dances, and the next moment, some religious preacher will get up and preach against dancing. So the contrast of liberty that their soul would long for and the constructs of religion superimposed over who they really are was very, very evident in that moment. The next afternoon, Sam and Jerry arrived. Jerry is a wonderful, wonderful farmer guy from down in La Mesa, Texas. Just a sweetheart of a fellow. Close to the earth, loves the Lord, has a spiritual family, he's a spiritual father. And when he'd say, "Now, Lanny, I'm here, this is your show, but I'm here to support you." And whenever I would imitate Jerry, he would say, "Well, let me say this. If that's how I really sound, I apologize." Good-spirited fellow, great joy. And we made our way. How far was Matanzas? Hour and something?
About 2 hours.
About 2 hours east of Havana, where we took up residence Monday through Thursday noon, Thursday lunch, in this Catholic facility. Did that produce a slide? There's a group of us standing in front of it. Those who had come were vetted by Pastor Pedro Molina, the man that we're supporting. That's Jerry standing somewhere near the computer one. Just to Sam's left is our friend Jerry Chapman. Jerry will be 74 this year. You know, he plows like 6,700 acres, four rows at a time in an air-conditioned, stereo-equipped tractor with GPS, so it's a straight line. When he tells those stories, they think about their 2 or 3 acres and poking it with a mule. They have a hard time believing he's on the same planet. But that group of folks are pastors and leaders from a variety of churches that have been vetted for us to help raise to the next level economically. In this facility, some of them didn't want to leave. Now, appreciate the fact that Catholicism has been one of the anti-Christian preaching themes over there. Somewhere in that crowd is an Assembly of God pastor named Ramon. And I had such fun at his expense because Kenia, who is to the left in the photo in the maroon pants, etc., Kenia invited him, and Ramon came with some anxiety because, A, he was going to be in a Catholic facility, which, of course, is under the rule of the Antichrist.
They rebuked every time they went in the room because there was a patron saint picture in every room. And I was kidding because my middle name is actually from that patron saint, Caridad. So I'm like, "Oh, look, I'm being welcomed in every room." And they looked at me like, "What are you talking about? Those creatures, I rebuke them." And I'm like, "It's just a piece of paper with a printing on it. It's not a big deal." But they rebuked every time they went in their rooms. Oh, and let's not forget the cross with the glowing Jesus. It had a cross on top of your bed, and it had one of those the Jesus himself glowed at night, so they were like, they'd take them off the walls and put them away.
Now, understand, that's just a mindset. It's what religion does to people. In the course of our being there, next slide, please. Sam and I and Jerry would address this crowd, trying to help them. And go ahead to the next one, if you don't mind, son. Because Sam, well, all right, then the next one. If you can read the blackboard, Sam is trying to help them connect pig farming to the kingdom. Because everything we do represents the Lord. And so we're talking about their identity, not as farmers and not as pastors, but as sons of God. And how the kingdom should express itself even economically in the circumstances. Seated to Sam's left is a retired attorney and theologian who is interpreting for him. Mr. Rodriguez was quite competent in his English, but would like to ad lib as he went along. We had to address that a little bit. So in this facility, there was hot water. Now, y'all need to understand, hot water is an unusual thing.
From a shower, not a bucket.
That's right. Because most of the time, we're heating water, pouring in a bucket, mixing it with cold, and pouring over our heads to take a Cuban shower. And I think the next one is a dining room shot. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, this is very, very upscale. You don't have to balance yourself on the chairs. They had three meals a day and two snacks. It was room and board, $8 a person per day. That tells you something about the economy. Now, these folks don't eat like this at home, all right? So this was a real treat for these folks. And in sharp contrast, the people who worked there told us we were one of the best groups that they had ever hosted. And we made a fuss over this staff, and we gave them a monetary tip and our thanks. In this conglomeration, Ramon was a little uncomfortable because he had been taught that people outside the Assembly of God were wrong, so you shouldn't fellowship with them. So here he is among non-Assembly of God people, with the exception of me, and Kenya, who's ex-Assembly of God. And he's really enjoying himself because he's finding these people will receive him. It was a mind-changing experience for him. Can you all appreciate what that might mean? Okay. It was an exposure to an alternative experience than anything he'd known. And Ramon is one of those guys that Brandon described. In both nations that have been subjected to tyranny for a long, long time, I have found this to be true. Church leadership takes on the government of the nation as its standard. So Ramon was frequently hearing, if you want to keep your credentials, you'll do what I tell you. And that do what I tell you has got nothing to do with the will of God. But it is that kind of rule where control is everything. And there's a lot of manipulation we don't need to bother with, but it's all about keeping those in power in power. Who is that you're hugging there, girl?
Oh, look,
Lourdes?
Lourdes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And who is she?
Lourdes. Lourdes is a young woman that works for the post office and was very helpful with establishing us when Kenya was running around to the 20-something denominations last year to try to get us back in there. She's been a partner to Kenya and has helped her out and has spent time with her and supported her. She's a great young, well, not so young woman, but she has had a very difficult life. She's orphaned. her mother left her with her aunt, and she presumed all her life that her aunt was her mother. When her aunt died, her aunt told her that she couldn't die without telling her the truth, and therefore told her that her aunt was actually her mother. And she went through a whole series. She's still healing from this. It was about 3 or 4 years ago that she found this out. She was left at the altar at a young age and is just a joy and loves the Lord. She sings in a choir that travels. She'll actually be traveling somewhere to the States in the spring, but has had a very difficult life and just, she overcomes. I mean, this is the one thing about these people that you see, they have difficult lives, they have had their own issues, their own personal issues, and just living in that type of environment, but they joke about everything, they're happy. They're just people that are full of joy no matter what. And it's really a sharp contrast to what you see when you're driving around the streets, that you see those that aren't part of the church or that you don't know. It's just day and night.
Where does she live?
Oh, my goodness. She lives in an area which is a very desirable area, location-wise, about 3 blocks from the newly built nightclubs or dining rooms or things that are set out for tourists. The flat, her apartment, I think, is a second or third floor, and the value of it is about $18,000, which is a lot of money for an apartment there. And the ceiling is crumbling. The walls are crumbling. She's exposed.
The stairs collapsed last spring, correct?
Last spring, when there was a heavy rain, the stairs collapsed. She cares for another aunt that's an invalid, and in a very populated place. She lives in, it really looks like, if you drive, no matter where you drive in the area, it looks like a war zone, because buildings are crumbling everywhere. But she's in a great neighborhood, great location, horrible housing. And by great location, I mean just because of what's up and coming, but not what's there. All of these streets are, the buildings are deteriorated, and she can't move. She can't move because she can't afford to move. And even if she sold it, who would buy it at this with that situation? Last year they had some water. With that water, when the stairs crumbled, she said she got home from work and all her pots and pans were dancing about 2 feet over the floor.
You can't imagine the spirit of these people who live in these very distressed situations. But they are just so incredibly joyful in the Lord. They have nothing, and they have everything. It's just a wonderful, challenging experience to be among them. What's coming up next there, projector guy? This is the view from the facility where we held the seminar. And every afternoon and evening was free for them to fellowship, enjoy the locality, etc. This is a very... as cities go, this is a nice one. You still have poverty there, but you also have a seminary nearby and some businesses. So this is kind of like out of place. Usually, you have to go to one of the resorts that are secluded for tourists to see something this well-maintained. Go ahead, son, if you don't mind. Now, we come into this situation with the desire to empower God's people into the future. When the guys at the barbershop asked me, so what were you down there doing, missionary work? You know, I say, yeah, something like that. Because whenever somebody uses that phrase, they have something in their mind that's usually not at all aligned with what I'm actually involved in. Go ahead, son. We traveled from Matanza to Ciego, which was about 5 hours, and then the next day we did another 4 hours to reach these folks. Tell us about Jorge and his family.
Jorge is actually an athlete. He has a degree in martial arts and taught that. He lives in his family home, where he was born. That is his wife and his 2 sons. Several years ago, in order to be able to repair the home that he lives in. He left to Venezuela to work as a professional for 3 years. That is how he was able to obtain his furnishings, the repairs on his home, the TV that he brought. And then he decided that he wasn't going to be going out anymore, that he was going to dedicate himself to pastoring. So he is a pastor in that local area and has several other pastors that are under him. This, his wife, during the conference, Jerry had given us a large bag full of toiletries and regular daily necessities. And Kenya had methodically sorted everything out to make sure that every family received something from that bag. When his wife came into our room, because Kenya called on her one at a time so that people wouldn't see what the others are getting, because it wasn't really the same thing for everyone, she called her and she said, "Honey, you know, this is what we have. What do you need most?" And the lady said, "Anything that you can give us, Kenya." She says, "You know we're under fire." Later on, Kenya explains to me that when a woman says we're under fire, that means that they're not even eating. That little boy we met last year was a little slimmer, and I heard, I mean, without her, these are very humble people, but they're also proud. They don't want things to be known. But I overheard her say that Marky, the little one, had gained some weight, but it wasn't because of the food he was eating. It's because she was supplementing him with bread and sugar water for quite some time. Now, these are people that have a beautiful field. They have a lot of land, but they have no way of doing anything with it that would bring them profit because the income isn't there. He's a pastor, and he's working. He also works creating coal, right, making coal. Down the road, he bikes everywhere. They have no vehicle. And those roads, and in that remote area, that is a really remote area. But they are wonderful people. They are servants. They have a heart of gold. And they're so easily seen in their faces. They're just giving. And we know that when we ate at their house, we ate on their faith because there was no way they had the income to provide the meal it provided us.
But we always give a generous human Cuban handshake to make sure we more than cover what they sacrifice to show honor in our coming. Now, as it turns out, two doors down, he has a cousin who's been raising pigs for the government. The conversation I started with last year about the 500 and the guaranteed food turns out to be no guarantees. In fact, food shipments to this particular pig farmer were 30 days overdue already, and if he hadn't had alternative food supplies, the pigs would have died and he'd have been punished for the loss of each one. And so we learned a good lesson that doing business with the government is not good business. So Jorge didn't have the pig pens, and we were trying to figure out some way to help establish him. And so with some negotiation, the cousin agreed to give him a stall and make food available until he can get on his feet. So for $900, we were able to put that family in the pig-raising business, which will change their economic circumstances in 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days. What you got next? Oh, this is fun. This couple here in the middle. Tell us about Gonzalo and Nilda.
Gonzalo and Nilda came to be covered under Pastor Pedro out of necessity from the previous pastor they were under. They live also in a pretty remote area, although it's very close to the resorts in Cayo Coco, which is extreme resorts. I mean, they've got 5-6 different huge hotels that are, I believe, Spanish-owned, most of them. Those are resorts that Europeans use. The place is beautiful. I mean, we've seen it. And since they are just south of that, just over the bridge of that particular key, a lot of the people that work in the resorts live in that area, making it, again, even though it's a shack, it's expensive to find anything there. So this couple has been renting this particular house for quite some time. The front of their house is the church, which is a small area, and then they have their bedroom in the kitchen, which I think I have a couple of pictures of those at some point. But the roof has holes. It's a tin roof, I'm sorry. I don't think that I put that
no,
there.
No, it's not there.
Okay. The roof is a tin roof, and it's full of holes. So when it rains, of course, all that wood that you see on the side of the house has gaps in it. So when it rains inside the house. Kenya had spent a weekend with them, and it was pouring during that weekend. And she said, okay, so how are we going to sleep here? Literally, they get in the bed, they put on the blanket, and then they have sheets of plastic that they cover themselves with so the rain will hit the plastic and not soak them while they're in bed. That's how they live. They're, again, cheerful, generous, funny, fun people to be around. And when I looked at the walls and when I went in there and I saw the benches that they had, I said, you know, I would easily pay you $80 for these benches. My God, they are perfectly patinaed. I mean, they are the real stuff that people, and she was like, what are you talking about? I said, you have no idea what designers will charge to get this kind of wood look in their homes, and you have it naturally here. She's like, take it, I'll sell it.
Her one pair of high heel shoes hang from the bare concrete wall where the mortar is missing between the concrete blocks. They have a little 10-inch fan over their bed as their ceiling fan that they commandeered from somewhere. In this scenario, this is a duplex, and right on the other side of the wall is the grumpy old lady who complains about everything, including the small little congregation that meets in the front room just through that door. And whomever owns this hovel is selling it. And so they were in a situation where they didn't know where they were going to move to. But we, after a lovely meal, we got in the van to go visit someone who might know if there was a farm for sale. In fact, we had heard he knew of two that were for sale. We got to the impassable road, and Gonzalo disappeared through the mud and came back later to tell us that there was no, both farms had already been sold. So there wasn't anything we could do for them but a Cuban handshake, big Cuban handshake, and then hit the road.
So the next day, we get a phone call that they had stayed up praying all night. Of course, we also had been praying for something to for the Lord to just do something unique in their situation, because again, they were going to be homeless since the place was going to be sold. We get a phone call that there was a miracle, that the lady who the wife of the gentleman who initially had said that both farms had sold had gone to visit an older lady where she gets her coffee ground, and realized that this older lady has a farm and was selling it because she was moving away with her son somewhere. She's just too old to handle the farm. So she was selling the farm for a ridiculous amount of money. It has a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home with a very good thatched roof. It needed like a minor repair on the thatched roof, but it had plenty of land.
Water and electricity.
It had water, electricity, and a pump, because a lot of the times they have water, but they don't have a pump. So literally, it was move-in ready.
With fruit trees and edible roots.
And everything that would be necessary to feed pigs, should they, of course, have the pigs.
So we bought a farm. Almost 2 acres with that house for $600. And we threw in the, I think it was another 1,000 to get the pig pens built and get them funded. So they're moving in the 14th of this month, which I believe is today. They called us on that, it was a Monday actually. They called us that Monday night, and I said, make it so. So they were on the train, first train the next morning, arrived late Monday night, Tuesday night, and then we put them on a bus the next morning back to take care of business. So we have substantially changed the economic future and welfare of the spiritual father to several sons we also were able to help put into the pig farming business. So we were changing lives almost on a daily basis. We left here for some place north of Ciego. I don't remember the name of the town where Madeline and Ramon live.
Oh, it's a Providence off Havana, but it's It's about 40 minutes away or about an hour away from the city, but it's an area of Providence of Havana.
Oh, that's right. They were north of Ciego.
Yes.
We were headed back west. And this is Madeline. God, how I love this little girl. At the seminar. Now, she was raised, her father had three daughters and worked them like men on the farm until they could escape in marriage. And her husband left her for a woman about half her age, immigrated to America with his a wife almost as young as his daughter. The daughter left to join dad in the States, and mom was left with her little boy and began selling furnishings to eat. The low point in her life was where she had to beg a neighbor to feed her seven-year-old son. And the seven-year-old son said, if there's no food for my mother, I can't eat either. So she showed up at the seminar, and I'll tell you this little side story. Kenya decided we're all going out for ice cream. Ice cream is a big deal over there because it's so hard to come by. So whenever you're in a town that has one of these little Cuban ice cream places,
Copelia,
that's where you go. So I said, how far is this place? Oh, it's about 10 blocks. I thought, should I change my shoes? Nah, 10 blocks. Well, a mile and a half later, I'm asking, how much farther is it to this place? And when we get there, there's a line to get in from the altar out the front door. So we stand there for over an hour just taking advantage of the opportunity to speak about the kingdom. And then we get inside. There's like 24, 7 or 8 of us. And everybody orders a salad, which is a plate with 5 scoops of ice cream on it.
Now, we couldn't all sit together. So when I sat with a couple of the guys, the other guys, they asked me, what would you like? And I said, well, we're here for ice cream. What do you have? And the guy said, we have orange pineapple. I'm like, is that orange or pineapple, or is that orange pineapple? He says, we have orange pineapple, I said. And he said, we have orange pineapple. I said, oh, I guess I'll have orange pineapple. So the waiter says, is standing there, and one of the guys says, well, would you like a salad? I'm like, why would I want a salad? I came for ice cream. A salad is
5 scoops of ice cream on a plate. So I'm sitting at a table of 5, and there are 37 scoops of ice cream and 2 chunks of cake.
Now, mind you, the original salad is supposed to be a flavor each, but all they had was?
Orange.
So you get 7 scoops of?
Orange.
There we go.
I said, seriously?
That was his word the whole time.
I can't eat 5 scoops of ice cream. No problem. It disappeared.
And it comes with this little bisque. It's like a little hard
biscotti.
Like a biscotti, but it's really hard. And one of the guys I was sitting with says, you see this? And he taps it on the plate. We're going to collect these and get them to Pedro so he can use his bricks for the building.
We come back from the ice cream place, and Madeline has got 4 pastor farmers standing in front of her and 1 sitting next to her.
Men. 4 men.
Yeah, 4 men. And here's this little all my life a farmer gal squared off at them. They're trying to tell her stuff she knows ain't right. And I walk up as one of them who has previously announced that he's raising a particular kind of pig on a particular kind of diet that gives the ham a particularly popular flavor. And his pork sells first in his region, which is in the south, southeast. And as I walk up, I don't know what's been said, but he's going, no, 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 no. She's sitting there like this, and the other 4 are laughing. So I'm watching this scenario, and each one is taking turns barking at her. She's just holding her ground. And I just interjected. I said, this is an amazing thing in Cuba. A woman who actually knows what she's talking about, and men have to listen. Cracked them up.
So towards the end of this conversation, she just lets them say whatever they're saying, and the picture is her sitting down like this, and they are standing kind of like telling her and doing these things. And she, all she said was what she said. She goes, who do you think you are to tell me what's right from what's wrong? All I know my entire life, I'm 43, and all I've known my entire life is Bible and farming. And then she rattled out whatever she rattled out, and they went from this position to...
I found out something on this trip that kind of amuses me. Apparently, I have acquired the reputation of being a defender of women, which makes me very popular with the women and looked at a little askance by the men who are very machismo and very domineering. So I'm having a wonderful time at their expense. This acreage you see here is her father's farm. He's retired as a farmer. So we're just coming onto the grounds. And he's probably, I'm guessing, I'm not even sure we saw the extent of it, but there's got to be at least 7 to 10 acres here. And filled with fruit trees and avocado trees and mango trees and various edible roots. And she's raising chickens for market and has empty pig stalls, quite a number of them. But she had to cannibalize the turbine on the farm because the one in the house failed. So we were able to supply her funds for a new turbine and pigs, and in 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days, she'll be in a different economic existence in that culture. Now, when we arrived in whatever the little township is, Ramon is waiting at the courtyard in front of a very dilapidated Catholic church, which once upon a time was clearly a lovely setting. And she's upstairs in the flat she shares with her father and her son, texting us that Ramon is very, very anxious for your arrival. We show up, he's waving his hat across the way to make sure he's noticed. Next slide, please. This is Ramon and his wife and 2 children. I had a lot of time to invest into his thinking. And I believe we were really able to lift him up out of his dejected spirits. They also needed a turbine. So I think for like, I don't know, maybe $600, we put them in the pig farming business with a turbine. And that will change their existence as well.
This visit was 4 days after the conference, 4 or 5 days after the conference. And he had been... He and the young lady before are friends and live close to each other. So when we arrived, we were being served refreshments right before we went out to look at the fields. And this man said, Ramon said to Lanny, he said, all this week, all these days, we sit down. Basically, they were talking about what they had heard at the conference and how it was mind-boggling, and they were trying to process those truths that were so freeing that they heard from the speakers.
It's just astonishing to me how much we know that we consider to be so little, and what little we can give them is life-changing, because they live in a mindset. They live in poverty, they live in control, they live in domination, they are cut off from the outside world. There is no internet, there is no Google anything. And everything is controlled.
And they live in the type of adjustment that I had to be reeled in, because I immediately got kicked into my American person. When we left the Copelia with the orange pineapple, as we were walking out, I look at the serving window from behind where they put everything out for the servers to dish out, and I see vanilla, I see chocolate, I see vanilla with chocolate marbling in it. Now, I love ice cream, but I can't eat more than 2 spoonfuls, so it wasn't about the ice cream, although I would have preferred to have a spoonful of vanilla with the chocolate marbling in it, because the ice cream was awful. But as I'm passing by, we're leaving, and we were the last table to sit, so we're leaving, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not orange pineapple. And Andy says, no, it's not. I said, well, wait a minute. The guy told us that all there was orange pineapple. And he said, yeah, they were probably trying to get rid of it. I said, I don't care. That's not the point. You can tell me we're only serving orange pineapple until we get rid of it, but don't tell me that that's all that you have, when clearly you just ran out of it 10 seconds ago, and now you're serving 3 or 4 other things. So I immediately go, turn around on my heels, and I go to the window. I said, can I speak to the manager? And Andy's like, no, this doesn't work here. I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't work here? This, I was lied to for no reason. Just tell me the truth. We have other ice creams, but it's not available to you. And he's like, come on, gringa. You got to come with us. And literally pulled me away from the window because I was just going to, you know, let them know my 2 cents. So that's the kind of control that freaks me out, that just ticks me off.
You need to know that Kenya is our Cuban Alexia. Which means on the next trip, I've got to have 2 choke chains. I'm looking forward to working with this man in the future because if this means anything to you, he has our spirit. But his mindset has got to be liberated so that he can function without condemnation in a new context. What we got next, son?
Oops, back. Back. I think that's the next one, right? There.
Yeah. These are those little bitty yellow bananas that haven't turned yellow yet from Madeline's farm. Go ahead. Now, it's all yours, kiddo.
Okay, so personally, this trip was interesting to me because I got to see the stories my dad would tell me. We were at one of the pastors that wants to have the pig farming business, and this is his uncle's field right behind
him.
This
is Adonis, and he's a tour industry guy, not a pastor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adonis. Well, Adonis...
That can't be right because they're the ones with that little church.
Yes.
So he's doing both.
Yes.
Ah.
So, I mean, all of them are pastors, although they may have other additional
they
work for income.
They need to survive financially, yeah.
So this is his uncle's field behind his house where his uncle has agreed to give him a portion of the land that he can plant for roots and feed to supply for the future pigs he's going to be getting. But they were harvesting black beans, which is what you see there. And I remember my dad telling me, my dad, I'm grateful, is alive and well, and now I get to share things that I didn't understand while I was raised here, so I had no clue what he meant when he was talking about waiting for windy days to chafe the beans so that it would be easier to get the little shells out that were out there. But it was a little bit of a windy day, so they were out there harvesting, and we were able to watch them pull the beans out and do what they were doing.
All of this by hand.
Oh, yeah.
Shelling them into this container and then pouring them through the breeze so the other stuff goes away so they can put it in a bag so it can be sold.
And on our way to this portion of the field, we had to go between the house and certain areas of mushy stuff. Lanny was walking behind me, and Jerry, which is a farmer, is used to stepping on all the mush, so he just went on ahead, and I'm following Jerry. When I realized that I hear, I'm like, what the heck? I lost it. They had loose pigs. I was used to seeing, yeah, thank you, Tina. My first thought was, I turned around, and Kenya is screaming bloody murder in hysteria, crying, saying, look at this, the gringa in a pig farm. I can't wait to tell Alberto. What the heck am I doing in a pig farm? Let me tell you. Jerry's up ahead. Lanny's behind me, and I see that pig coming up. I'm like, he's loose. I grabbed Lanny and put him in front of me. I'm like, you walk. This was really, oh, my God. That part of it was, what am I doing here? If my friends could see me now, I was dying because there was goats on the other end, and this particular guy just had his animals loose. I was used to seeing them, like, in a cage or something.
They were on a rope.
On a whom?
A rope.
Oh, well, it was way too close for me. That rope was not short enough.
All right, move ahead, son. We're running out of time. Building relationships with these folks. This is Pedro and his family in what was their church and house. The thing is just in chaos as they add 2 floors above it. Right now, they're squeezed into 3 rooms built and the whole place is dusty. She has to feed the workers every day and clean up after them at the close of the work day, every day. And this is going to go on for another year. Go ahead. More shots of what's taking place in the place they live. Let me tell you something. If you've ever tried to hang up clothes in January in humidity and wait for them to dry, you better be patient. It takes days. Go ahead, son. This is the little kitchen in a fresca out back adjacent to a little laboratory. And this is him making the best of what he can with what he has. Go ahead. Now, that shot on the left, that's Gonzalo and Nilde's little church.
And that's that bench I said I would buy.
Yeah, they don't know how much those worn out things are worth. The one on the right is very interesting. Back up, please. Because the one on the right, the guy who was pastoring that congregation left because Puerto Ricans brought him $20,000 to buy a house. So he bought a house in a nice neighborhood and just left this bunch of people. Go forward. Those benches are sewer pipe, plastic sewer pipe. Looks like a 5-gallon bucket top in them. This is how clever these folks are. And see all that, see the awning behind Jerry on the right? All of that stuff is wrought iron. It's the stuff we use to reinforce concrete, and they make benches, decorative pieces of furniture. This is what they use over their doors and windows. Go to the next one. The bench on the right is wood held together with wrought iron. And this particular house church, this woman built 30 years ago. An American missionary came through and said, if you can build it, I will pay for it. So for $3,000, they built this place. Next slide. Go ahead. The land, yeah, just keep moving ahead, because the land is fallow most of wherever you drive. This is common transportation. In fact, one of the moments we had was, we're behind a motorized tractor that's passing a handmade cart with a horse, and we're passing those two to catch up with a modern tour bus. Now, that's four generations of transportation in one line on one road on one day. This stuff is very, very common. Go ahead, please. See those houses? That and worse is typical. Go ahead, son. That little shack on the left, the picture makes it look really good.
Across the street from that little shack lives a couple. He works for the government in the petroleum area and was helpful to us because we needed gas to get back home, and there weren't gas stations anywhere near where we were. So he was able to get us gas to be able to fill up to get home. While they were getting the gas, the guys were out. Nilda and I visited with his wife a bit, and she apologized when she invited us to sit into her living room. She said, I am so sorry, I don't even have any coffee to offer you. And I said, oh, don't worry about it, I've been having coffee all day, I'm fine. And she looked at Nilda and said, how embarrassing, it's just that I had to sell my coffee. I'm thinking, my God, this woman had to sell her coffee in order to buy food, because what she had was coffee and what she didn't have was food. So it's amazing. Needless to say, there's two packages of the coffee she mentioned she loves the most waiting to be shipped to her from Florida along with some other things.
Go ahead, son. The picture doesn't capture the beauty of that tree. And that's what, another horse corp?
Yeah.
Bicycles are used as transportation for goods. I mean, it's common to see somebody walking along beside their bicycle, and you can hardly see the bicycle for stuff hanging on it. Go ahead. Welcome to Cuba, where everything is hard. That is a typical ladder. Handmade. Nylon keeps it from breaking apart. That dining room set in the back, two of those chairs you sit in at your own risk, that's in Kenya's house. And it took my socks 3 days to dry in front of that rotating fan. But I want you to know that with your support, we changed the future of 10 households with more standing in line. And we got these that we funded to agree that they would tithe on their profits into a pool to sponsor other farmers in their sphere of influence. So we have initiated the opportunity for a Cuban-owned, Cuban-funded, Cuban-maintained pool that can move these people up the economic food chain. So thank you for your prayers and your finances. What we do, where we go, matters in the kingdom of God. And those of you who stand with us in it, I have every expectation the Lord knows how to manage his spreadsheets so that your contribution to his purposes is not overlooked in eternity. But right now, we just have the joy of seeing families who are at the borderline of survival actually having a future. And for that, I say thank you on behalf of the Lord. Would you stand, please? I really